welcome in to week 9 of the By Faith podcast. We are hitting the home stretch, and I have my friend Allie here with me.
Hey, guys.
And Allie is a first-time podcast guest. Maybe a little bit of podcast anxiety going on right now.
Definitely.
But it's going to be good. You know, after all, it is just talking into microphones, and in our case, talking into microphones about Jesus. So we'll see how this goes. We are diving into the book of Daniel this week. We spent a couple weeks in the book of Joshua and just talked about the Battle of Jericho. And sounds like a lot has happened in between now and then. Suffice to say that the Israelites now find themselves in exile after King Nebuchadnezzar's takeover of Jerusalem. And that's where we pick up in Daniel 1. So, Allie, if you just want to set the scene for us a little bit before we dive in.
So Daniel 1, we find ourselves at like the front end of like a 70-year exile where Judah hadn't been obeying some of the laws that God had set before them. And then so we see God actually delivers his people into the hands of this like pagan nation and this kind of evil king, Nebuchadnezzar. And we start to see he has some like chosen people or some chosen few that are like exceptional, like handsome, flawless, battle worthy. And Daniel and some of his friends are in that mix. And we start to see his goal essentially is they're kind of brainwashing Daniel and his three friends into their like lifestyle. So they want to re-educate them. They want them to eat their food and they even like rename them. And so they're completely trying to like assimilate God's people into their nation and their like pagan lifestyle. And so that's where we find ourselves at the beginning of Daniel 1.
Cool. So as you dived into this scripture, and dived into the book of Daniel, what kind of rose to the surface or what got you excited about this week?
So what is really cool about Daniel 1, at first it just seems like it's so simple. Like you're like, oh, he's just like not going to eat the food. And then like, bam, it's over. But really it's just like a great depiction of like, you start to pick apart some of the language in, individual verses. And it really just depicts like God's like sovereign nature. Like he handed Judah over to Babylon and like, he allowed for like the temples and like gold items of like precious items, like used for his worship, like to be plundered and taken away and used for like worship of false gods. And you just see like his hand is completely over like the entire situation. And later you start to see like Daniel asks permission by one of the, like the king's guards, like to not eat the king's food. And the guard is like, well, like my head could be taken for this. Like you're risking my life for your God that I don't even believe in.
Yeah.
And Daniel just like completely trusts. And then it says, God caused the guard to have compassion on them. And so it's like, you just see the Lord is like completely over the entire situation. And Daniel and his friends are just completely like trusting in like the Lord's faithfulness to just show up. And they don't know all of it, but you just see him time and time again, like in control.
Yeah. Even in the midst of less than ideal circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's cool. Cool. So, what else, kind of brought out even this idea of like being in exile? Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe, what that even means to be in exile and then like how that connects to maybe even like where we are now in our current context?
So exile is kind of like a theme you see like throughout all of scripture, like even in the garden, like, you know, they're cast out because of eating the fruit. And so it was cool to see like that theme and even asking questions like, oh, we are still in exile today. And so you start to see like Daniel is a really great example, for living in exile. And so like, even on campus, like, or in like life today, like we are in exile. And so like, we are called to like live in this world, but not of it. And so like, you see that in Daniel where he like, he doesn't eat the king's food. It's been sacrificed to false gods. And so he asks to have an alternative diet. And you see that, like, the Lord, like, they look better than all the other people who've been mm-hmm. eating the king's food because he was obedient to, like, God's ways. And so, like, Romans 12:2 talks about being in the world, but not of it. And so we are called to be set apart and look different. And so we are in exile, but we are called to live a certain way in this exile.
Yeah. I think exile isn't really a word that we use, like, in our common culture, but maybe if you're, like, familiar with, like, the Christian vernacular, then, like, it's a word you just kind of like, oh, I kind of know what that means. Yeah. And so I even, like, just looked it up on Google. This is a super informal definition, but it says that to be an exile is the state of being barred from one's native country, typically for political or punitive reasons. I think the reason that we would say, I think in this context, it's very practical. Like, they're not in their native country. They're actually somewhere else. They're in mm-hmm. Babylon. But I think for us, it's more of a, maybe like a spiritual exile in the sense where, like, yeah. you know, heaven is our native country.
Yeah. It's just kind of like using the word home in my mind, like they got taken out of their home and, like, this world, like, isn't our home. And so it kind of speaks to even, like, the hope of, like, we're looking forward to going home. And so, like, but how can we, like, build ourselves up, like, while we're here until we get there, yeah. kind of thing. So,
yeah, I think it's even interesting. We see throughout scripture, whether it's in Egypt or Babylon, that, like, these periods of exile can actually be, like, formative periods for, not necessarily the church at that point, but, like, for God's people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's interesting, to even our current context. I just read a book by, John Mark Comer, Live No Lies, which is really good. And he talks about how we're, like, the church is currently in exile in what he calls digital Babylon. And I love what you said.
That's so good.
I love what you said earlier about how, like, they're coming after, like, you know, they're changing their names. They're wanting them to, you know, eat, sleep, walk, talk like a Babylonian.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that our culture is doing the same thing. But it's not as, like, you know, it's not the king telling you to do something.
Yeah. It's not as abrasive or, like, abrupt. It's very, like, familiar. Surface. Yeah. but yeah, it's also interesting. So, like, in the exile, you know, and just talking about how it can be, like, a formative experience, like, one of the things is, like, Daniel did what he was doing, like, well, like, he practiced excellence. And so it's like, kind of not like accepting your circumstances, but, like, how can you still, like, honor God, like, in less than great circumstances and, like, just do your work well. And so he was actually, like, not exalted, but he was lifted up and God used him for his purposes, like, within a pagan government. And so you see that if you continue to read in Daniel, like, you'll see that kind of trend of, like, excellence in his life.
Yeah. And that causes Babylon to take notice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to notice not just Daniel himself and think, oh, he's so great, but, like, oh, he has a God
mm-hmm.
that's different from, you know, whatever pagan gods, you know, we're looking towards. Cool. So one of the things that we are trying to do over the course of this semester is to tie, you know, because we're not Jews, right? You know, it's not just the Old Testament and that's it. We're Christians. And so we read the Old Testament in the context of the New Testament and look to how Jesus informs our reading of a story like Daniel. So how do you see the tie-ins from Daniel 1 to Jesus?
Yeah, so Daniel is really just, like, a great, not example, but kind of a reflection of Jesus before Jesus. And actually a lot of what Daniel talks about, like, later, in his story is a lot of, like, prophecy that really kind of points to, like, the hope that is to come. So, like, Daniel lives, like, a very excellent and, like, not praiseworthy, but Daniel is, he lives a very excellent life. And so, pointing towards Jesus, like, Jesus is, like, the perfect one. Like, he lived even more perfect than Daniel. But to me, it's just, like, Daniel is a great example in the Old Testament, even before, like, knowing that, like, he really is going to come. And so, yeah, not much to say other than Daniel, just, like, he's just another example for us. Before they even had, like, the fulfillment of Jesus, like, being here. And so, like, it just kind of spurs you on. Like, we have the promise of Jesus. Like, we know that he's already come and we know that he's coming back. And so, like, yeah, like that should just like spur us on even more to live well in exile.
Yeah. And Jesus too was someone who lived in exile in a sense. Like if anyone's home country was heaven, it was, you know, God himself that became man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he very much lived at odds with his culture, but also lived a life of excellence that was, you know, respected by many and caused people to, in a similar way, Daniel, take notice of like, hey, who is this guy and what is he about?
Yeah, it's like truth kind of catches people's attention. So like Daniel was faithful to be in prayer and to not defile himself with even like the king's food. And you see like he didn't compare to like the witchy people or like, you know, the magicians and the other people that the king was referring to interpret his dreams. Like Daniel was the only one who could interpret like the visions and the dreams that the king was having because God gave him the answers and the ability to do that. And so like the truth like caught on and they noticed something was different about him. And so the same should be said about us as ambassadors of Jesus here. So.
Yeah. So if we are people who are living currently in exile, if John Mark Comer's right when he says that we're living in a digital Babylon, then what does it look like to, I don't know, to be people who live, you know, a life of excellence, but also are willing to live at odds with the culture, who are able to navigate kind of this, even kind of like, you know, war that culture is waging for like, you know, our souls and our, even like, you know, political allegiances and all these things that are kind of just combating and trying to form us into people who, don't look like, I don't know, people who are fighting for the kingdom, in a kingdom that isn't currently present. So what does it look like, or what advice do you think comes out of this week practically, to live as people who are in exile?
So I think practically like a takeaway, like Daniel fasted or just like refused to defile himself, with the king's food. And so I think there's parts of like campus culture, like the secular aspects of campus, that might have a tendency to cause us to stumble into sin. So if it's like alcohol or secular music, Netflix, social media, or like, even if you have an addiction to sugar or caffeine or like whatever that might look for you, I would just encourage you to like lean into like fasting from that and just see like, how can you not make yourself look set apart, but like, what might the Lord be calling you to step away from, to just pursue like more of him. And so, that alone, like just spending that time with him and avoiding something of secular culture, especially if it causes you to sin, we should maybe be doing that anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, fasting has a way of just like bringing us closer to the Lord. And when we fast from something, we should replace it with more of him. Mm-hmm. And so, and when you do that, you should expect to look different. Like the result, we should come out different. And so we, in that case, we just get to be set apart for his purposes. Like, how can he use that? Like if somebody in your core group is listening to really abrasive music, or maybe they even struggle with like a porn addiction or something, and you can partner with them in fasting, or you're already fasting from them, you're a voice of truth in their life and you can witness to that as well. And so, I mean, there's multiple different avenues that could go, but yeah.
Yeah. I think it's so important to acknowledge that like, regardless of whether we want to or not, we are being formed into a certain type of person by, you know, what we watch, what we consume. And even that our, you know, our current Babylon that we live in wants to form us into a certain type of person. Whether that's like carrying a certain political ideology, or it's, you know, just having this like consumerist mindset, or whatever it is, you know, to bow at the knees of, you know, whatever our modern day, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar is. And so I think that we have to take note of that and even understand that like, there is like a battle for our souls that are going on.
Absolutely. And so what's catching your attention more than anything else. So,
yeah. And I think it's so important to like even take stock of that. I think you're right to say, you know, if we're going to choose to lay some things down because we're starting to realize, oh, these things are forming me into a person that I don't want to be, or into a person that isn't carrying the image of God into the world, that we have to pick something else up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's the whole gist of it. You don't just lay down bad habits. You form new good ones on top of them.
Well, it's like, even like the scripture that talks about like the eye is the lamp of the body. Like, are you watching like things that are participating with the kingdom of darkness, or are you like brightening your lamp by filling yourself with like God's word?
Yeah.
And so I want my lamp to be bright with Jesus. And so, yeah, it doesn't always, you might not always desire those things immediately, but you can trust that he will like reform your desires. So,
yeah. I think understanding that we're living in a culture that's at odds with what we believe causes us to have a different level of intentionality with that, which we see from Daniel, where he understands that he's in enemy territory. And so because of that, he has to be even more diligent. And that's why he walks into something like fasting.
Yeah,
I think you're really good to call that out as a practice. And if that's something that like feels scary.
Yeah. If we haven't done it before, even just starting with something small, like I think, I encourage like the leaders to, pursue just like a 5-day fast of something. Yeah. But even if you can just cut out like music or something that, you know, for a week, like that is a great place to start. Like, we're not asking you to not like eat for 3 days.
Right.
But, yeah.
What role do you think that community plays in a practice like fasting, or even more broadly in like living in a state of exile?
Oh yeah. So Daniel was not in this alone. He had three friends that were right there by his side this whole time. And so like we aren't called to do this exile alone. And so a lot of times that even looks like accountability or like kind of measuring like discernment with those people that were in exile with. And so something like fasting, like if you're setting yourself apart for God's purposes, like you want to do that with people who can hold you accountable and can remind you of like what you're working for. And so, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think we're meant to navigate, you know, being at odds with the culture alone. Like we have to have it at some sense, like a community that we can band together with.
Yeah. And lift each other up in encouragement to keep going. So,
yeah. So I think even in groups this week, it could be, you know, what are we, you know, communally feeling led to fast from?
Yeah.
I think that could spur on some really good conversation. But I think leaning into, community in any case is a good word.
Yeah. And knowing like, as we're nearing the holiday break kind of season, like you can lean into that community, even if you're not like immediately with them.
Yeah.
Like it's okay to text your group leader or a friend that you trust in the group, or even your whole group, and just be like, hey, like, can you all pray for me to like continue this? Like I'm struggling being at home. Like maybe your home culture is different than your community culture here at CSF or on campus, but you can still lean into that even if you're not immediately with them.
Yeah, it's good. Cool. I think that I've really enjoyed this conversation. Is there anything that you feel like has been missing? Any maybe final words that you would leave students with?
I feel like also a key, like one last key theme to just like take note of is, you know, Daniel didn't have God's plan laid before him. Mm. This is a like step by step, like he was purposed like for God in this like season. And so he just trusted like God's hand and God's sovereignty over like their exile. And he just saw him like show up again and again. And so just to like encourage, like, you know, college is like this 4-year journey, and then like you don't always have the plan that like works out perfectly, but just trusting and like surrendering like even your plans like to the Lord, and just saying like, okay, what do you want to do here? Because we want to obey and we want to submit to him, but just trusting that like he is faithful to continue to show up and be there alongside us the whole time. So
yeah, I think faith is like our overarching word for this semester. I think even if trust is like the kind of the word underneath faith for this week. Yeah. I feel like each week's kind of had its own word. I wonder if trust is the word for this week. I think so much of even choosing to lay down, you know, other habits that we realize are forming us and picking up, you know, good habits and habits that are life-giving is trusting that like God actually has what's best for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think that we see that in Daniel. It says, you know, I don't trust, you know, whatever Babylon has to give me. But I trust that, what God has and what God, says is enough. And that allows him to enter into fasting and allows him to stand, at odds.
And it allows him to be used. Like, I think all of us have a desire to like have a purpose and be used by God, but that does require our trust in his plan, like for that purpose. And so you definitely see that in Daniel as he works like very closely with Nebuchadnezzar while he's there with him. So,
yeah, it's good. Well, cool. Allie, thank you for your insight. Thank you for powering through the podcast anxiety. And I hope that you're down to do it again because
This was good.
Good.
Anxiety gone.
Excellent. Well, cool. We hope that you guys have an awesome week of group. And we'll be back next time to wrap up our fall semester curriculum with week 10. Have a great week, guys. See ya.